Welcome into another chapter of Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen here to hopefully facilitate a lot of information that comes through different sources every week. We're going to meet a gentleman named George Lewis in a moment who has a lot of expertise in some of those singing bowls you may have heard about. If you haven't ever heard of Bhutanese or Tibetan singing bowls, you will find this fascinating. And he ties it into a lot of other things that are part of what we need to explore in our own hidden power. So Mr. Lewis joins us. Then Uri Geller will be here to talk about a couple of different things that are twists on Yours and Your Mind. He's internationally famous as a mentalist, so we have that to look forward to, plus a visit with our psychic scout, Mary O'Malley, and help for understanding the week from astrologer Maria Francesca Trilogy. I have in my mind, and I've been thinking a lot about this, I don't know why, over this past weekend, I had gratitude on my mind. Maybe it's because I was thinking about the winter and how grateful I am that I'm able to spend the bad weather months, from New England's point of view, bad weather months, out in California. And in California, I get exposed to lots of things that are not part of the tried and true tradition of New England. And so for that, I am very thankful. Not only that, but I get to spend lots and lots of quality time with my two children and my grandson. So in thinking about gratitude, I was thinking about relationships and how grateful I am to have had, especially the most recent relationship that I had, even though it hasn't, my son and I were talking about this yesterday, how relationships just are very hard to maintain and people change and you drift in different directions. But the greatness, the goodness of what came out of that. And I think about my relationship with my animals and just so much. We all have so much to be grateful for. Think about that. Give yourself some time to be grateful, because it can transform a day into just an everyday, ordinary day into Thanksgiving. You know, you think about Thanksgiving and Christmas or the holidays. It also can turn a routine job into something. You're thankful that you have the money or the ability to make a living, and you know, you can always change what you're doing, but be thankful for what you've got. And if you think your life is ordinary, I bet you can pick bits and things, pieces out of your daily life even, that you are getting that are a blessing that you can be thankful for. So let's think about that as we think about how to enjoy that which is unique about us. George Lewis is an astrologer. He's also a tarot reader and a healer. He uses these singing bowls, and that's what I want to talk to you about with him. He's the author, by the way, of a book called Arthur and the Bun Bun, as well as being an accomplished painter and photographer. So let's talk about the book first. That's a great place to start. Mr. Lewis, a pleasure to have you on Your Hidden Power. What is Arthur and Bun Bun?
Well, firstly, Doug, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to come on your show today. The story of Arthur and Bun Bun is actually a story about a boy and his soul journeying through time and space. On the face of it, it's really a story of a boy and his bunny rabbit, but really it is the story of a boy exploring time and space. They go back in time to ancient Egypt, and it's really about sort of tapping into that emotional, intuitive part of our nature. The magic, for example, that we all have as children is often lost as we become adults. We tend to slip into a purely rational way of doing things. So all the healing modalities...
Is this a way... for us to deal with past life events in a way? Is it your attempt to, I'm asking two questions here. Is it your attempt to connect with past life experiences, and or is this the story of you through another vehicle?
I mean, on the face of it, it's the story of my son and his bunny rabbit, his pet bunny. Mm-hmm. But really, it's a story of all of us connecting with the past lives. I think because we've lived in a world of monotheism for a long time, and it's run out of steam because it doesn't serve the collective consciousness or the individual today. So in some ways, it's giving hope for how we can tap into our spiritual being. You know, after all, we're spiritual people having a material existence. We're not just material people on this planet. That's where our civilization's got it wrong.
I remember when I was just making reference to a great relationship that I had for a number of years, And one of the things this lady taught me was something, and I don't know why, we both had the same spiritual beliefs. I don't know why I didn't tune into it, the sense that we are spiritual beings in a physical body. I don't know. I never put it into that perspective before. But since she said that to me, I bet I've read 100 times if I've read it once that we are spiritual beings in a physical body. But there's that energy, and we go out and we come back and we go out and we come back. And as you said, monotheism doesn't embrace that, but it does suggest, monotheism does, that we have more to our lives than just being here. Doesn't it, in a way?
Yeah, for me, it's also about following the soul contract. Every single soul on this planet is here for a purpose, and they have to identify what it is. And I think a decent civilization, an honorable civilization, gives credit to that and allows for the individual to flourish. That is what, to me, happiness is also about. I'm an ambassador for gross national happiness. And it's about flourishing, allowing every individual to find what they're here to do. And when they find their purpose, then they're fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. So we're here. I believe that our purpose is to help. It's a generalization that I use frequently. I believe we're all here to help, whether it's ourselves. But a lot of people, Mr. Lewis, are frustrated because they don't know and they can't find, or they don't seem to realize what their purpose is. I've had... Again, speaking of the most recent love relationship that I had, I remember one day we had a conversation about why she especially wondered why she was here. And it was and I get that. I think a lot of people wonder that sometimes. What the heck is the reason we go through life, we solve problems, we create problems, and so at the end of the day, what have we done? And why even bother to advance civilization? You know, you understand what I'm saying? There seems to be, a lot of it just doesn't make any sense.
If I can respond, I think one of the ways which is helpful for us all, because what you've just described, we all go through those questions, those feelings of doubt. But what we have to do is meditate or pray and allow the internal revelation to appear as well as just external. One of the things which I think is problematic in the West is we've tended to focus everything on external results. And not that that's not wrong, but we have to go inward. And I think today, in the 21st century, whether it's through tarot, astrology, yoga, it doesn't matter the modality, we journey in on an inner way. And by doing that, then we find our community together. And by having these conversations, Doug, that you're allowing us to have today, allows for us to come together and explore that inner sanctity, that inner sacredness that is so true to our being.
Inner sacredness. What a great phrase. I love that. All right, hold on for just a second. We continue. George Lewis's website, by the way, is venusinthe12thhouse.com. venusinthe12thhouse.com. Just for exploratory purposes, while we're having this conversation, you might want to go there and see what it has to offer. Venus in the 12th house. Time is 16 past the hour. Your Hidden Power. Doug Steffen with a reminder about something that would be most appreciated by this audience. And I don't say that we have just one sort of, we're talking about monotheism, a monotheistic listenership. We have people from all walks of life listening all around the world, not around the country, but around the world. So the idea of healing, which is so much a part of what's in Your Hidden Power, comes externally as well as internally, and I'm going to pass for the next 60 seconds something along to you that I hope will change your life. It's Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a game changer. You'll start drinking it like I did. You'll feel great. You'll have more energy. You'll cleanse your body. Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. It gently cleanses your body, the toxins that are in your body, the mold, parasites, bacteria, all the stuff that causes us to be sick. The food that we have today is a lot different than we had 40, 50, 60 years ago when many of us grew up. So the nutrition, the value of food doesn't seem to be there, and that's the reason that we feel run down. So when you go to getthetea.com and order some of their blends at getthetea.com, using the discount code DJV. They'll ship it to you free. You'll see, or you'll feel more importantly, what this special blended herbal formula helps in your body, healing it. No caffeine. It is really the purest of the pure. So getthetea.com, help cleanse you inside out. Getthetea.com, no fillers, no GMOs. It's all organic. You can't get it in stores. You got to go to their website, getthetea.com, and use the code DJV to help maintain your health. Discounts at getthetea.com using DJV for free shipping. All right, George Lewis is here. I'm Doug Steffen on Your Hidden Power. I made a mistake. George's website is neptuneinpisces.com. The other website was for another purpose, neptuneinpisces.com. So let's talk about you and the singing bowls. Are there different types of singing bowls depending on the region from which they come, George?
Yes, Doug, there are, but these singing bowls that I work with really come from Bhutan and Tibet. And in some ways, America can stand very proud of bringing a lot of this great knowledge out of Tibet in the last 30 or 40 years. And I've practiced under a great teacher, Kathy Hamer, and she's taught me how to use these singing bowls. What I've done is I've identified them and linked them with the chakras according to the planets. You see, for me as an archetypal astrologer, the planets like Neptune is a seventh chakra because it's unconditional love. And so you work down, depending on what the issue is with the body, and working on the different chakras. And it really helps you drop into your emotional body. Because, of course, the emotion is the chief source of all becoming conscious.
It sure is. It's so important. There's a little bit of the Tibetan or the Bhutanese singing bowl music in the background. I want to clarify and unconfuse people with more after these words. Change past the hour. These are the Tibetan singing bowls. Why are they called? George Lewis is with us, who is an astrologer. I never have pronounced that name, that word right. Archetypal? How do you pronounce that word?
Archetypal, I say. Some people archetypal. Say archetypal.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So how do these bowls and this music play into what it is that you're doing? Astrology, the planets, how we can, I'm a great believer, frankly, in the use of astrology. I find when you get the correct information from whoever it is, somebody that's a relative, somebody you want to love, somebody who works with you, you get their all the information from them, their birthday, time of day, city of birth, and you translate it into your sun sign, moon sign, and your rising sign, you can find so much out about the people and help yourself to making it easier to deal with them and their world. And so how does that, the archetypal astrology, how does that particular type of astrology help you more or in a different way from what I just described?
The archetypal means you find, for example, every planet has its archetype. So, for example, I'm an Aries sun. That's the pioneer at the high level of consciousness. It's the initiator. But, of course, at a lower level of consciousness, it's the bully and the warrior. It all depends on your sign. So you build up this vast map of potential. That's what an astrological chart is. It's not predicting how many pancakes you're going to eat next Tuesday. It's much more about, you know, what your soul or sacred contract's about. This is major stuff. This should be taught throughout the country. And it's the basis of who we are, is how we connect with the cosmos. The ocean is moved many feet and many hours by the moon. And, of course, the moon has a huge effect on us, but so do the other planets. So you look at this for information, and from that, then you can really start to plan out what your sacred contract is. How does Venus, the planet of love, how does that relate to you? Are you going to be loving this way or that way. You really can get a lot of information from it. Now, the singing bowls go alongside it because I've linked them to the planets. So you have B, E, A, D, G, C, F, which are the seven chakras, B being the top, which is, I call it Neptune, and F being Saturn. And E is the Jupiter bowl, which is the middle eye. And A is Mercury, which is how you communicate. And D is the moon, how you feel. G is Mars, how, in a way, where anger is stored. And then, of course, C is Venus, which is how you love and how you relate. And then at the bottom is F, which is Saturn, is the base chakra, the structure from which we all have to work from.
So, under the circumstances, there is unlimited knowledge, it would seem to me, that you can use, you can find from using these different modalities there. It's almost a miracle, frankly. And the more we have people researching it, you think it's simple because, like anything else, astrology started as astronomy is today. Astrology was when it first got started. And the people who studied it, it fascinates me, George. And I wonder if it did you when you first got started, who it was that figured out that these various traits could be assigned to the planets.
I mean, that's a little bit of a mystery, but the ancients got a lot of things right, and we haven't, since the time of the Enlightenment, tended to ignore ancient wisdom at our peril. And I'd like to bring this in a short time back to your wonderful start today, is gratitude. I feel that when we put the singing bowls on ourselves, when we do the astrology, it allows us to give thanks for what we are here for, and the miracle, as you call it, as to what it is to be human. Of course, the suffering as well. But we must allow ourselves to co-create together, because the magic of today is the science of tomorrow.
You use tarot to a point. Do you think tarot belongs just with astrology, or can tarot be used by people who are psychic? What's the best use of the tarot cards?
Well, I know you have a tarot expert coming on later. For me, it's about synthesis. It's about integration. I use tarot alongside astrology because I can read tarot cards using an astrological medium. So I dole out 12 cards in to relate to the zodiac. And it's partly psychic, but it's also partly scientific. I do believe all these things, religion, science, and art, are all after the same thing, integral truth.
Isn't that interesting? All right, well, let me send people again to you're a fascinating fellow, NeptuneInPisces.com, artist, spiritualist, knowledge seeker. I'd say those are all things I would describe you as, frankly, in this time that we've had to get to know each other. So a good source. I think it's fabulous to have all of these sources, and that's why we point them out to you. George Lewis here on Your Hidden Power at 29 past the hour.
Severe nausea. So bad you think you might just vomit. If these statements describe you, and you've been diagnosed with gastroparesis, you might qualify for a clinical study that tests a new medication for nausea and the symptoms of gastroparesis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care and medication at no charge. Call 844-902-1212. That's 844-902-1212. This ad sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
34 after the hour, this is Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen, and this half hour, we're joined by Mary O'Malley, who is our resident psychic. She's the psychic scout, in fact. I want to talk to her about tarot cards, amongst other things, and Maria Francesca Trilogy, same thing. She has an overview of what's going on, the aspects of astrology that make it relevant for you. Right now, though, we're joined by Uri Geller from his home in Israel, the premier mentalist in the history of the world. You think you and I, we've become such good friends. I chuckle sometimes at the way I creatively try to introduce you to people who don't know who you are. And that's a problem because on the radio, there are new people coming in and out all the time. They may not know what this program is about, never mind who you are. So I don't like to assume anything, even though sometimes I do. But when I have it on my mind, I like to describe you as a mentalist. But sometimes I don't think I do you justice. How do you describe you?
Well, Doug, you know, I started off during the 70s calling myself a psychic, And then I thought, nah, every street in New York has a little psychic reading shop. I said, no way. Then I became a paranormalist. I just basically knew how to reinvent myself. Today I call myself a mystifier, but talking about synchronicity, you just mentioned astrology and horoscope. I was once in Baltimore, was walking down a main street it was, and I saw a shop that was selling interesting and unique items. And when I walked into the shop, I saw a horoscope machine, which was made in the early 40s. And I thought to myself, wow, this is amazing. And I actually bought it. Then later on, I found out that Gene Dixon, does the name Gene Dixon mean anything to you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I interviewed her on a couple of occasions. She was a great medalist. She actually did a lot of work in astrology, gave people. She was a commercial. She wrote books kind of like, what was her name? Brown. There was a, was it Sylvia Brown?
Yes. Yes. Anyhow.
It's cut out of the same cloth, kind of. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but Gene Dixon was the psychic to President.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was the personal psychic of Ronald Reagan's wife.
Yes, yeah.
And she was in the White House a few times. Anyhow, so when she found out that I had this machine, she actually contacted me, and she told me that she has the little papers that go into the machine. I don't quite remember how it works because it's in the container now, and it'll take me a year to get it out into the museum. But so the little the machine, you drop, I think, a quarter, and then your horoscope chart comes out. And I'm kind of a great believer in the planets and the moons and the sun, that they affect your mood,
yep,
and so on. And Let's face it, Doug. I mean, even the major heavy papers, they carry an astrology column. It's a huge, huge business also. People want to know their future. People want to know their destiny. And they would pay, you know, anything to find out, you know, if they'll find love this year, if they'll find more money. So it's something that will never die out, no matter how many skeptics, and people will try to debunk astrology and say it doesn't exist, it's all nonsense, it's hogwash. But most of us are, most human beings are very curious people. And we want to know about ourselves. We want to know about our families. And they see through horoscopes and psychics, so that you buy, I don't know if the National Enquirer still carries on the back page, you find dozens and dozens of psychics. A while ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there were psychic hotlines. Then they were closed down. But anyhow, that's, it's in our nature to know more about our future.
Don't you remember Dionne Warwick was the, she had a late night infomercial. She made millions and millions of dollars promoting psychics because it was a phenomenon and still is, frankly. I'm looking at a website every day. I get four different horoscopes from four different sources, and it's based on my sun sign. There's never enough in depth, but sometimes you can look at some of the others. Like I'm a Scorpio with Pisces and Aquarius. I'm wondering, other than you're a Capri. No, you're not. You're on the edge. You're a Sag, right on the edge, on the cusp.
Yes,
of Sagittarius.
On the 20th of December is a Sagittarius.
Right. Do you know where your moon is or where your rising sign is?
Listen, Doug, throughout my career, I received more than 300 charts.
Yes.
if I look at the 300, I would say that kind of they fit each other, but they're different. You know,
yeah.
Doug, I have to tell you that I'm really walking in the middle of Tel Aviv now. Isn't it a mini miracle? I mean, if you say 200 years ago that you will be downtown Washington or Los Angeles talking to your best buddy in Tel Aviv, people will laugh you. They will say you are crazy. They will call you a witch. They will burn you at the stake. But here I am in the middle of Tel Aviv. And where are you based now? Where are you?
Right now, I'm in Los Angeles right now. That's one of the, it is one of the fun things. Never mind 200 years ago, 20 years ago, it would have been difficult to realize how quickly you usually, you are Shippy, your brother-in-law who's with you everywhere, usually send me a picture of where you are while you're talking to me. And it is, it's liable to be most anywhere. And the fact that it's just a little something you put close to your mouth and in your ear, and the communication is so good when you are in this circumstance, almost 8,000 miles, actually, about 8,000 miles away from me. It more than that. Now it's about almost 10,000 miles away from me. It really is, it's phenomenal. But something else, I started talking, Uri, about gratitude in this hour and how grateful I was thinking about the people in my life, how I'm very grateful to have met you. You've brought me a lot of wisdom. You've brought me a lot of fun. You've brought me a lot of companionship and camaraderie. You've been a wonderful friend. And that's something I think we all should be, we need to be thankful for the blessings we have, whether it's our health, our friends, our work, whatever it is. And I think that's something to be underscored, because I don't think you can give too much in terms of gratitude. You can't be grateful enough. What do you think about that?
Thank you. Thanks very much. A big hug from me and Hannah and Shippen. We'll speak next week.
All right. Take care, Uri. Sometimes the connection, as much as we talk about how wonderful it is, sometimes it's not 100%, but you get the idea. And I do think that message is for everyone. Let's see what our psychic scout, Mary O'Malley, says about gratitude and thanks. All right. The idea that you, those of you who are in business, have a unique identity that you want to underscore. Let me give you an idea of how to use email and your identity on the net as a way to separate you from lots of other businesses that may do the same thing. And by the way, if you use, what I'm talking about is Gmail, like mine is gmail.com or Yahoo or AOL or, you know, whatever other ones there are out there. There's a way of using the identity of your business for your own professional email that is so superb, so simple in terms of concept, and so inexpensive. I don't know why everybody isn't doing it, because you need to separate yourself out. EasyEmail.tech. EasyEmail.tech. Make the process simple. And don't spend a lot of money. Go to easyemail.tech, or you can call them if you want, 844-344-7607. They'll get you all set up with your own .com, your own .shop, .tech, whatever it is that will help describe your profession and your business better. Easy Email, based in the United States. Real people will answer the phone. Real consultants will help you. And you'll be fixed up before you know it. 844-344-7607, 844-344-7607, or go to easyemail.tech, easyemail.tech, for your own new unique identity on the web and in social media. All right, we've got our friend Mary O'Malley here, who is our psychic scout. So I had a couple of questions for you. I always do. I'm loaded with questions. Do you ever use tarot cards? And do psychics use them, or are more astrologers likely to use them?
Well, it's not. It's pretty typical for a psychic to use tarot cards or oracle cards or something like that. On the one hand, people like to see them. They like to see the cards, you know, and get to know them. The other thing is some people read them just, you know, like you're normally taught to read tarot cards. In my case, I let them speak to me, not necessarily what the card is about, but what that card is showing me at that moment. So there might be something on the card that stands out to me that tells me, because I generally use them just to get confirmation or a little extra information or to have a better understanding of the information that I receive. So I don't use them all the time, just, you know, just occasionally, and, you know, depends on the situation.
Right. So, well, that's good because there are different ways to handle it. Everybody's got a unique situation. Nothing's cookie cutter-ish. And I think that's what separates the good people doing what you're doing from those who are not so good, because you have to really know who it is that you're talking to, and you have to know where the information is coming from. And so I think that that, in my experience, you're one of the best people I've ever come across, because you just seem to be there. Well, and the other thing is, frankly, whatever you're saying to somebody, it's got to really register for it to have any value. And so whatever, as strange as it seems in our world, which is so technologically advanced, for somebody like you to sit in a chair and apparently get something from who knows where and translate that into, I mean, thus the focus on your hidden power. You have a hidden power. You use it to help other people. But that doesn't mean the people you're helping don't have their own hidden power that could be generated or regenerated, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think tapping into that. And that's one of the things. My theme today, Mary, is gratitude. Do people come to you for readings? If you go to psychicscout.com, you'll find Mary and get a great reading, and you can get a little couple of bucks off if you mention my name. Do they come to you usually with problems? Does anybody leave or say to you when they sit down, I want you to help me express my gratitude better? Does anybody, even though we all should be doing that, do people really come to you to express gratitude?
Well, that's not usually the first thing on their mind.
No, I know it isn't.
But a lot of times spirit will point that out. That, because we get in our mind that things should be different, things should be more, things should be better. And a lot of times spirit just points out, hey, look what you've already accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, just allow yourself to enjoy this before moving on to the next. And that's about our self-judgment. And so people become grateful to find out that, you know, they do have this moment in time to just rest on their laurels you know, think about all the people in their life and things in their life that they have accomplished. So, but gratitude, you know, it's something we always have to remind ourselves to be in that state, because that's where, you know, that's the most powerful state.
I think it's referred to sometimes by the monotheistic sorts, having an attitude of gratitude, but it is, and it makes no difference if you have any religious background or not. It's a great place to be. Mary O'Malley, thepsychicscout.com. Fifty-three after the hour, Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen with Maria Francesca Trilogy, Astrological Light Beacon. You can reach her at smbworks@earthlink.net. The focus on astrology, gentleman was on earlier who is an archetype, he said, an archetypal astrologer. There are all kinds of astrologers using different tools and that sort of thing. I know you use a lot of different tools, and the secret here, or not really a secret, but the effect of having connections with these people, that is, I'm talking to audience, connecting with people like Maria, who have a talent that is somewhat hidden from popular view, but that's why we're uncorking hers and yours as well, because there may be some things that you have going on with you that are hidden, that when you tap into the expertise of somebody like Maria, then you have an awakening. And so when she's here each week, we talk about different aspects of astrology. And now I want to find out from you, Maria, the most important reason people who come to you want to know about themselves astrologically. And then the relevancy, sort of the theme through much of this conversation this week on Your Hidden Power has been the relevancy of astrology. I find it irrelevant in a sense. I mean, like, it's nice. I get four different horoscopes a day. You know that. I look at it, but they're all just focused on my sun sign. No information about my moon sign. No information about where the rising is. And so you don't really get a clear picture. How could people do that every day so they have a real relevant overview of what their day will be about?
Well, hello, everyone. Yes, I would say that in order for that to happen, you have to go a little bit deeper in the exploration, like you're explaining, and look at where the moon is traveling through. That's why the little forecast that we do for people to know where the moon is that day will help you to understand what your day's going to be like, depending on even taking just your sun sign and looking at, okay, well, I'm Doug, you're Scorpio. Now, Doug, you know the moon is in Aquarius today, traveling through Aquarius, but you know that. You know you have Aquarius ascendant. So it's going to be a good day for you to be out in the world, talking to people, getting the business part of your life, whatever you have to accomplish. It will be a good day for you to do that because your rising sign is the part of you that you take out into the world. So people have to do it one time only. I tell my clients, one time only, go and see a good astrologer, find out what your sun sign is, where your moon was situated on the day you were born, and what your rising sign is. That triangle, that what I call it is the trio, those three aspects of you are the ones that you express in the day to day.
All right. So then maybe what I just said, I have a number of them that come to me every day. Maybe what I should do is change the subscription. So one of them gives me Scorpio, one of them gives me Pisces, and one of them gives me Aquarius.
Absolutely.
So that I would be able to combine all of those. But there's no,
yep.
I mean, it's just too crazy to think
that you could have somebody
put it all together. You got to do it yourself.
Yes. Or you have to,
call somebody like you.
Yes. Or do an overview even. Okay, what's this week look like for me? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think I need to focus on? And clients come to me, obviously, you know, whenever they can or whenever something's going on. The most important thing, though, is people will come if they have something. Hey, I'm getting married.
Urgent.
What do you think?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So important events like that is when you really want to know.
All right, so sometime you're going to have to tell me. We're out of time now. I want to know a story from you. Don't let me forget this. Of somebody who's come to you and they said, okay, here's my boyfriend. Here's his birthday. And you look up his chart and it's a horror show. And you know that it's going to end in disaster. Well, you know what? How do you tell the person without being the bad guy? Yeah, this is what you better look out for. But if I were you, I don't think I'd do that. So check that out. If you were getting married or you want to know what the right way is to do things, check out all the info from Maria Trilogy, SMBWorks@earthlink.net.